Parents, this sermon has some information that is not intended for younger listeners. If you are listening with your children, please use discretion. Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues the series entitled, Back to the Book of Acts. In this fourth message, Pastor John zeroes in on the situation at the time of Jesus, and a subject so volatile that it resulted in his death. As a result, very few pastors dare to speak about it. What did Jesus expose that killed him? The answer? Judaism, a morally and politically corrupt religion. You see, the timeless instructions given to Adam, Moses, the judges, and the prophets were altered over time, and the Jewish leadership abandoned the Old Testament as the Word of God and supplemented it with the Talmudic and Kabbalistic writings. Pastor John recites some of the worst heresies from these two writings and how they are still impacting the world today. Most Christians will react in shock and disbelief because they've never heard this before. But before you write this off as an anti-Semitic attack, please do your own research and re-examine your assumptions of truth through the clear lens of a sincere biblical analysis. This message is entitled Part 4, Breaking Away from Judaism. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And this is November 4th, 2007. And today, I'm going to be talking about breaking away from Judaism. Back to the Book of Acts. Breaking away from Judaism. Let's stand one more time and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you right now for these moments you've given us. And Father God, you know that this sermon has been burning in my heart for a long time. And I pray that you will keep me calm, collected. My thoughts will be clear, Lord, that I will be able to present this message not only to this church, but to people around the world, so that, Father God, your will shall be done. And that your word should be preached and taught. Thank you for your Holy Spirit helping me right now. And I give you praise and worship now. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me take you to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. This is where we're going to start today. The book of, actually the Gospel of Matthew, we can say. Chapter 15. We start in verse number 1. Doing away with Jewish tradition. I don't think that you and I as believers in Christ have really thought it out what Jesus came down and what you had to do. When Jesus came, it says in the Gospel of John chapter 1, that he came to his own, and his own received him not. Judaism, as a religion, was totally corrupt at the time Jesus came. It had been corrupted by the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, and Jesus came down, and he had the same problem as you and I have today in breaking away from traditions. Let me read my introduction. By the time Jesus walked on the earth, the timeless instructions given to Adam, Moses, the judges, and the prophets had been corrupted by the scribes, the rabbis, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. The Jewish people had been led to believe in the Talmud, the traditions of the elders and the Kabbalah in the 400 years before Jesus was born. Let's get this to our belt to understand that. For the last prophet, Malachi, 400 years. We're probably looking about at least 8 generations. For 8 generations, the people in Judah, tribe of Judah and Benjamin, remnants of the 10 northern tribes, had gone into a tradition for 400 years. It was ingrained into them. And when the young people were born, they were simply told, this is what God said when God had not spoken. He did not write the Talmud. He did not write the Kabbalah. When I went to seminary, they did not teach us anything. We learned everything about Israel from the time of Christ back, what had happened to them and so on. But we learned nothing of Judaism as it was during the time of Jesus and what happened later. When I read about the Talmud, I simply thought, well, I don't know what it is. I don't care what it is. The Kabbalah I had never heard of. And yet the Talmud is a writing that is actually set the policies for this nation, has set the policies for the entire world. Very important documents that Jewish people learn in their synagogues. Let me read to you right now from Matthew 15, 1 through 9. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do you disciple transgress the tradition of the elders? That's the Talmud there. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But Jesus answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it is a gift, or the word here is korban, but whatsoever you might be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made a commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Most of us have read verses 5 and 6, and we don't understand that. We don't understand what it is. At the time when Moses was given the commandments, God spoke and said that it is a duty of the children to take care of their mothers and fathers when they get old. They didn't have any nursing home. They didn't have any social security at the time. It was a family that took care of the father and mother when they got older. That was the Mosaic law that God has set up. Now, I'm not saying anything derogative, but you know, some people like to make more money than others. And the Jewish people, they like to make money. So they simply devised a thing that said this. If you do not want to take care of your mom and dad and have all the money for yourself, you simply do a little gift proclamation. You go to the nearest synagogue, talk to the rabbi, and tell him this, that when I die, I'm going to deed my house to the synagogue system. The rabbi will then say, you are now loosed from the obligation to take care of your father and mother. They will simply have to hit the street and start begging. You are now free because you are going to give your possessions to us when you die. In the meantime, you can use all the money and spend it on yourself. This is called Corban, C-U-R-B-A-N, in Hebrew. And that's what Jesus addressed here. He said in verse 6, "And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free." Free from helping mom and dad in their old days. Look in verse 7 now. "You hypocrites, well did I see a prophet," are you saying, "this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Look in verse 9 now. "But in vain," that means it's useless, "they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." What else do we know about the Talmud? Well, for years, the rabbis had a death sentence on any Jew that would reveal the Talmud to Gentiles. In the last 100 years, the Talmud has been translated from Hebrew into German, into English. Matter of fact, you can go and get a copy. It's about 650 books. And the Talmud contains a lot of things, but I'm going to hit about 3 points today on the Talmud to understand what I'm talking about. Number one, the Talmud teaches that Gentiles are beasts or animals. Only Jews have a soul. The Messiah that is going to come, according to them, will only save the Jews. Gentiles are animals, beasts. The term used in Hebrew is goyim. You might have heard that. In the Talmud, they are teaching that there are two sets of laws. One for the Jews and one for the goyim or the Gentiles. If a Jew kills a goyim, that is not a big thing. That's the same thing if you run over an animal on the road or something like this. It's not a big thing. And you can cheat. A Jew is allowed, according to tradition, he can steal from a Gentile. He cannot pay his bills to the Gentiles. He can do a lot of things because Gentiles have no souls, have no value. They also divide what is called the Noahide laws. The Noahide laws are 9 commandments that George Bush Sr. signed and implemented in the congressional records back in the early 1990s, and also Congress adopted the Noahide laws, which are laws for the Gentiles only. And this is on the books in Congress, signed by the president. Most Americans do not even know that this exists. Furthermore, in the Talmud, it is actually very perverted. It says in there that if a Jewish man would like to have sex with a child, as long as a child is 3 years and below, it is okay. If the child is 3 years and older, then it is an offense. You wonder, where do pedophiles come from? Where do we get all the pornographic stuff and things from? I tell you where we got it from. It is from the Talmud. Now, when I preach like this, people out there will say he's anti-Semitic. Well, let me just ask you a stupid question. If you go down to the nearest bookstore and you buy a Book of Mormon, and you start reading out of the Book of Mormon and you point out what they teach in there, does that make you a murderer or a hater of Mormons? You're simply showing this is their doctrine. We expose the doctrine of the Muslims. We expose the Buddhists. But for some reason, we cannot expose the doctrine of Judaism, which is going to be the basis for the Antichrist system. Jesus said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." When Jesus came now to this earth, he simply took on this system and said, "This system got to go." Now, I want you to really think with me here deeply. If you read from Matthew, the last chapters when they would have crucified Jesus, why did the rabbis, the scribes, and the leadership, why did they hate Jesus? What had Jesus done? He healed the sick, cast out the demons, took care of the blind, the lame were walking. But he said this, Judaism has to go. You take away business, and you're going to have some hateful response. I want to read a letter that came in from a man. His name is Greg. Greg here had written and asked for prayer because he was stuck on pornography. Carol West wrote him back, and this is a response from Greg. And this is something that can be multiplied 10,000 times across this nation, across the world. Dear Carol, thank you for writing to me. However, things for me have gotten worse than ever. For about 42 years, I have been struggling with homosexual temptations, thoughts, and behavior. I was married for 10 years and lost my wife, my home, etc., because of my sinful addiction. I was just released from jail 4 days ago after being arrested for soliciting prostitution, even though I was entrapped. It is still my fault for going to that park. I have no idea how I'm going to pay the $240 fine, pay the probation fee office of $60 a month, and I was put on probation for 6 months. I am mentally and physically exhausted from crying so much and not being able to eat or sleep much for fear of breaking my probation. I have no money to purchase cassette tapes, books at this time. All I know is to ask for prayer. I've tried to get the help I need, and it seems nothing has helped me. And then he ends, I don't know what to do. This is the heart cry from a broken man. Years ago, he was a little baby, nice and cute like babies are. But he got entrapped, pornography, homosexuality. And now, he's simply in the place we lost it all, and where does it go? We can multiply this a million times in the world right now. All over the world we have men and women just like this. This last week, or 2 weeks ago, a female teacher, 25 years old, ran off with one of her students, 13 years old, to Mexico. And for the last 6 or 7 months, she had had sex with him and had him at her house. And they arrested her, took her back. And she's ruining her life and having sex with a child 13 years old. What destroys people's mind? Ask yourself this. What is the destruction out there? Where do we get the destruction? And I would say it's in the media. The printed media, books, videos, DVDs, television, and movies that is spewing out all these garbage and teaching our young people how not to live. And then we wonder, what's the result? Let me go back to my outline now. Jesus knew that he would take supernatural power to break the people away from the riches and holidays that were ingrained after 400 years. During 3.5 years of teaching, Jesus laid a foundation of breaking away from Judaism with the apostles implementing these changes. Jesus knew they would not be easy and made it clear to his followers. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew, the 10th chapter. And you pick it up in verse 21. It's Matthew 10:21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. The father the child and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have got over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and a servant as his Lord. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, or the devil, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that you speak in light, what you hear in your ear, that preach upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head, they're all numbered. Fear you not therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. And he that loses life for my sake shall find it. Jesus knew that he was going to take his church and he was going to throw it against a huge organization, a behemoth, a monstrous organization that was going to crush his church. And Jesus knew that this organization was going to crush him. It was simply going to wipe him out, put him on a cross, mock him to the last moment of death, and afterwards deny that he even existed. Today, you will not need to understand this. The people that resisted Jesus Christ are the same people in power today. Let me repeat that. The same people that were in power in Jerusalem at the time of Christ are in power today in this world. They control the finances. They control religion. Do you realize there is not one Christian publishing house left in America that belongs to Christians? It's all been purchased. Small publishing houses here and there, but the main publishing houses are gone. If I remember this right, Thomas Nelson's publisher is owned by Murdoch, the man that owns the Fox News and the newspaper, what do you call it, the media. He's the same one that owns that. And they gave just a little plaque to Charles Stanley. They sold 2.5 million of his books. Today, if you want something published, you have to go to these people. They control our publishing. They control Hollywood. They control everything. They control our education. They control our politics. They control our military. We have nothing to say. And eventually the Antichrist system will come to the place they're going to say, now, here is the mark. The Christian church has not understood this. And thus, we are not prepared. Did Jesus tell his disciples to build an army? No. He simply said this, you go and preach the gospel. There is power in the gospel. Jesus now confronted the Jewish traditions. Let me now go to my next point. Man cannot save himself. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read one verse, number 20. When Jesus told his followers that unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. None of them understood what he meant. Let's read it right now. Jesus said, for I said to you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. How many of us have understood that over the years? Very few. It was never explained to me when I was in seminary. Let me read to you from my outline. Who were the Pharisees? These men were circumcised. It was called for by God. They sacrificed regularly in the temple at Jerusalem, called for by God. They gave tithe, called by God. They kept prayer vigils, observed all the holidays. Yet Jesus said all that they did was not enough. They had to do better. Obviously, no man in the flesh could do better. So what was the solution? Look upon this verse again. Jesus said that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. This went in one ear of the Jewish people, out the other. How can anyone top the Pharisees? You can't. Man cannot save himself. And I want to show you now how Jesus told his church, break away from Judaism. And now turn to Romans chapter 3. That's Romans, the 3rd chapter. The teaching now in many Christian churches is this. Don't give the gospel to the Jews. God is going to save them. You got a covenant with them. They don't need Jesus. They got to come in the back door. He has a back door for them. He has a door for the front for us called Jesus. That's a lie for the pits of hell. Rituals needed to go. Circumcision and the sacrifice. This isn't hard that if you tell people today that Christmas is a pagan holiday. You go out and say Christmas is a pagan holiday, they'll run into a shoot you. They're going to say, well, how can you say that? Well, it is a pagan holiday. Never was a Christian holiday. It only has been in a church in America for less than 100 years. But it's rooted down deep in us that people get emotional and they will not listen to reason. Let me read to you now. It was the Apostle Paul, empowered by the Holy Spirit, who wrote down what the apostolic church learned from Jesus. Man cannot attain righteousness by himself, but the born-again man is given the righteousness of Christ. I want you to think about this right now. You and I are not going to go to heaven because we go to church. You and I are not going to go to heaven because we give tithe. You and I are not going to heaven because we do good deeds. Or we don't cuss, we don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't chase. It's not going to give us to heaven. We have no righteousness. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that washed us. It is His righteousness that will bring us into heaven. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many years you walk with Christ. We still have a sinful nature until the moment we die. And that nature is unrighteous. Let's begin reading now from Romans chapter 3. What advantage then has the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. In other words, they were the custodian of the word of God up to when the Messiah came. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar. As is written, that you might be justified in your sayings, and might overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness command the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God is more abounded through my lie of His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we stand to report, as some affirmatively say, that do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then are we better than they? No, in no wise. We have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Let me go back to verse 8 and 9 now. How many of you have understood those verses? And not rather as we be slandered report that some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. This is the teaching of the Kabbalah. Since you have not read the Kabbalah, you know what it's all about, you understand these verses. But in the Kabbalah, it teaches the Jews this, that in order to serve God, he must sin. Let me give it to you very precise and very short. The Kabbalah teaches, by the way, there's 550 books, that God, before the creation, got confused one day. Now, can you imagine God is confused? So God is now, before creation, confused, and suddenly a portion of him falls off and falls down into the bottomless pit. And there it is stuck. And now that portion of God takes the form of the holy serpent. And the holy serpent is now running around in a bottomless pit and can't get back up, and God cannot get him back up. So then the teaching is this, that man must help God. And it can be done in two ways. Either the Jews that are into the Kabbalah, not all Jews into the Kabbalah, not all Jews into the Talmud, but if the Jews then would make the entire world good, if every person in this world could be made good, then the holy serpent can come up. And then the Kabbalist teaches simply said this, that is too hard. It cannot be done. But we can go the low road. And the low road is to make everyone bad. If we can make every person on this world as evil as possible, then the holy serpent can come up too. So they simply decided to go what they call the low road. Listen closely now. Those Jewish people that are believing the Kabbalah, and when they serve God, they simply say this, to serve God, I must sin to the max. Lie, cheat, steal, commit fornication, adultery, murder, incest. The more I do of this, the more holy I become. That's in the Kabbalah. And this is what they accused Paul of. Let me read verse 8 again. And now, brother, as we be slanderously reported, as some affirmed we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then are we better than they? No, in no wise, we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they all are the sin. Some of you now are a little bit shocked. This is what, I never heard this before. Well, the reason is that we need to be educated in the Word of God, and we need to know what Judaism is, because Judaism is going to bring the Antichrist. Verse 10, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. When the devil comes and accuses you and saying that you are no good, look what God has done for you and still you're no good, you do this and this and that, simply raise your arms up and say, devil, get off from me. I know I cannot measure up. I know I can never be perfect. I can never atone for myself. But here it is, devil. Jesus died for me. He washed me with his blood. And I have his righteousness. And when I sin, I ask God for forgiveness. And he cleanses me from all my sins. And I'm going to heaven because I have the righteousness of Christ. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre or grave. With the tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things have the law says. It says to them that under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 20, is the spike that strikes in the heart of Judaism. By the law, no man can be justified. Now the Christian Zionists are happy. Jews are back in the land. Jews are working on to rebuild the temple. They're getting ready to do their things and do their sacrifices. But you see, Jesus taught his disciples and Paul repeated this. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is a knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The New Testament is a continuation of the Old Testament, but is a doctrine that Judaism has to go. Judaism is over. It's done. It was corrupted. We are now living under a second covenant. Look at verse 24 now. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, to the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and to justify him which believes in Jesus. Where is boasting done? It is excluded by what law works, nay, by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Listen to this now. I keep God's laws, not to be saved, but because I am saved. I want to keep God's laws. I love his laws. Not to be saved, but because I am saved. Just like a man and a wife, when they get married, they don't go home and spend the night together to work all day to be married. They go home because they are married. At least that's the way it should be. Rituals needed to go. Now, the President of the United States talk, you know, he got this rabbi up to pray, you know, they have clergy from Muslim to come up, they got Buddhist, and they got, you know, all kind of people coming up. Now, let's be clear on one thing. Let's just state it here correct today. We get it done and over with. The people that are meeting in the synagogues on Saturdays are not worshiping the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They are worshiping Beelzebub or the devil. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. There's a new covenant. I don't care how much they have the Torah, how much they walk around. The synagogues, as it is told in the book of Revelation, is a synagogue of Satan. Now mark my words. 5 years from now, probably, that will be something. If you say that, it's a hate speech, and you'll be prosecuted and go to prison for that. Just like you go to prison if you say that homosexuality is a sin. The synagogue, the Jehovah's Witness Hall, the Mormon stakes of their church buildings, the Buddhist temples, the Islamic temples, and you go down the list, each one is a door to hell. There's an elevator inside those buildings that goes straight down to hell when those people die. Am I saying that because I hate these people? No. I love these people. Christ died for them. Jesus wants them to be saved. But as long as they worship the way they do, they are damned for hell. We need to simply become honest and say, this is truth. Let's not sugarcoat it. There's no way that we can have a joint worship with all different religions. You cannot mix Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus did to his church. He said, come you out and be separate. And touch not the unclean things. Now turn to the book of Acts. And we're going to start here in chapter 2. The book of Acts. You can see that I'm not very popular in the world today. When Jesus died upon the cross, he became the final sacrifice. Let me ask you this. How popular was Jesus in Israel at the time when he walked here? The people loved him, but the leadership hated him. How popular was the early church? Not very popular. They paid with their lives. If we're going to go back to the book of Acts, we're going to go back to persecution. Because going back to the book of Acts means we're going to tell it like it is. When you meet an unbeliever, you don't go up and say, okay, you're held down, no good. You don't go up and say that, but you simply say, when they talk to you, you simply say, well, I have to inform you, if you live like this, you will go to hell. You must come through Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he became the final sacrifice. He paid for all sins of mankind once and for all, from Adam to the last person living on the earth, regardless of where we live on this earth. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse number 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he saw my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with your countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulchre is with us unto this day. And then we go down to verse number 31. He seeing this before spake at the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, where we are all witnesses. Therefore, by the right hand of God, exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascending into the heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit to my right hand, until I make your foes your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, who were the people here? These were Jewish people. Now, when the Jewish people heard this, they were pricked in the heart and sent to Peter to the rest of the apostles. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Have we many other words in the Testament, so it's saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What did Peter say? Go to the temple, sacrifice some more, do this and do that. He said, repent, be baptized, turn from your wicked ways. Now turn to chapter 4 of the book of Acts. We pick it up in verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, for it means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man standing before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is a salvation on the other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, Jesus Christ, through his mother Mary, was of the tribe of Judah. The 12 apostles were all Jewish. They were the 12 tribes of Israel. This was a Jewish Messiah. You listen to me now. Jesus Christ is not a Gentile. He is a Jewish Messiah, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies, serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He came to his own people. The church was not a Gentile church. The church was a Jewish church, not a Gentile church. This is not a Gentile gospel. This is a Jewish gospel. And we have been grafted in. But the Jewish leadership have lied over the years and made Christianity to be a Gentile movement. And saying, oh, that's just the Gentiles, but we Jews are over here. They have not read their history. And they're lying. Look at verse 13 now. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. That's what you and I need to understand. We cannot hate the Jewish people. We need to love them. They are just as lost as anyone else. They are raised in this religion. We cannot be angry at Mormons. When we see young Mormon missionaries out there, we cannot go up and say, I'm going to punch you in the nose, you infidel. They are born into this, raised into this, educated to this. That's all they know. The same with Jewish people, the Muslims, the Buddhists. That's how they were born. That's how they were educated. And for the grace of God, if you and I would have been born in one of these countries, we would have been just like them. What makes us different? The grace of God. Somebody prayed for you, and somebody prayed for me. Somebody gave us the gospel, and we responded and say yes to Jesus. We can never brag about this. We can never say, well, we are such a great people. All we can say is, I'm saved by grace. I am eternally thankful that I have seen the light. We have nothing to boast about. The book of Acts, now chapter 10. If you pick it up, 9 verse number 34. That's the book of Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." I like that. God is not a respecter of persons. He loves us all the same. He gives us all the same opportunity. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word I say you know, which is published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost of his power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they had a circumcision. And the Jewish people, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed to him to tarry certain days. This is a big revelation for the Apostle Peter. Up to this time, he still believed that the gospel is only for the Jews. He only went to the Jews. And then God saved these men in the house of Cornelius, the Roman centurion. And he said, if God put the Holy Spirit upon them, why should we not baptize them in water? Turn to Hebrews chapter 9 now. What I'm giving you now is doctrine. I'm giving you biblical doctrine of a New Testament church. What we believe, what we should believe. In Hebrews chapter 9, and we read here the first few verses here. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances and divine services and a worldly sanctuary and a temple. But there was a tabernacle made the first wind was the candlestick and the table of the showbread, which is called a sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, when it was a golden pot that had manna. And there was brought a bud in the table of the covenant. And over it the cherubim of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplished the service of God. But to the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered himself, and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the weight of the holiest of all was not yet manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. And then we go down to verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, this to say not of his building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 12 is a crucial point. Who is Jesus? Jesus is not the little babe in the manger anymore. He is the living Christ, the Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And by his blood, he entered it once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. There are no exceptions. Jews, Greeks, Eskimos, African people, Indian people, I don't care where they are from the earth, every human being has been offered, will be offered the gospel. Jesus died for them all. With the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkle the unclean, sanctify to the pure in the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he's the meat of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemptive transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. And then we go down here to this verse 24. For Christ is not entered the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but to heaven itself, not to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet he should offer himself oft as a high priest into the holy place every year with blood and others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Christian Zionists are waiting for the Jews to put the temple up in Jerusalem. They are singing and dancing and saying, oh, this is great. The temple of God's going to be there. The Jews are going to go back there. And they're going to sacrifice again. And the Bible said, this is simply blasphemy. Either Jesus Christ is the Messiah, or he's an imposter. A Christian church cannot have Jesus Christ as the Messiah at the same time dance around the temple in Jerusalem. You can't. You either have the one or the other. And you have to make a choice. Now turn to Galatians chapter 2. That's back to Galatians, the second chapter. I'm going to read just a few verses in there. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel that I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, the apostles, lest by any means I should run or run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren I was brought in, who came in private to spy out the liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we give place by subjection, no, not for 1 hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, in this chapter, Paul says, circumcision is out. People are circumcised today, not because of salvation, but of hygienical reasons. But it has no more spiritual meaning once the second covenant came to power. And now we move back, actually move up to Hebrews chapter 8. As I close with that scripture today, that's Hebrews, the 8th chapter. The new covenant disannulled the first one. Jewish people today have no covenant with God except what we have in Christ Jesus. The first covenant is gone, finished. Over with. It has no meaning. God is not on it anymore. There is a second one through Christ. All men, all nations got to come through the second covenant. Now the things which you have spoken, this is the Son. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens. And minister the sanctuary and the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gift and sacrifice, wherefore it is of necessity that this man has something also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses admonished God when he is about to make the tabernacle. For, see, says he, that you make all things according to the pattern showed to you in the mount. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established among better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Look at that verse. God didn't say, I will make a new covenant with the Gentiles. You see that? He says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with the father in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out to the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not as the Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquity will I remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant. He has made it first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. You and I has been grafted into Israel. Jesus Christ ordained the second covenant with the house of Israel, the 12 tribes, and opened the doors for all people on this planet Earth to come in and be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is why Paul said it's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male or female. We are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Summing up what I try to share with you here today now is this. When Jesus came, because I said last week we must think as Jesus and think as the apostles. When Jesus came, he knew this. He was coming down to a religious system that was very powerful, that would kill to protect itself. And in that system, he planted his church and he said, Come to me. I am the only way, the truth, and the life. Let's quickly turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. Make it 14. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Just as the early church had to fight Judaism, you and I have to fight tradition. We got to fight idolatry. Halloween. Christmas, we got St. Patrick's Day, ungodly Easter practices, we got all kind of different traditions to fight. We got false Bibles, wrong translations, we got all kind of different things. Valentine's Day is another one. We got all kind of traditions. People says, well, just be like the world. We got to be separate. And the moment we try to be like the world, we have lost the power. The goal is to be like Jesus. Not to be like everybody else. We need to let the world know, come to our standard. We don't lower our standard so they can come to us. They have to come up to the standard Jesus set. Let me drill this into your head right now. When Jesus came to this earth, he presented the gospel. He will take it or leave it. A rich young ruler came one day to him and said, Master, what shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus began to tell him. Then he said, now go and sell everything you have. Take that money. Give it to the poor. Then come and follow me and be my disciple. And the man said, I can't do that. Because he was too rich. And that rich man, he just walked away. And I can just see Jesus standing. And watching that man walk away from Jesus, slowly walking away. But Jesus never called out to say, hello, let me lower the price. I don't want to lose you. Come back here. Let me give you a different plan. He let him walk. We don't know if that man ever came back to Jesus and repented afterwards. If he did not, on the day of the great white throne judgment, we're going to see that young rich ruler there. And he's going to say, Jesus, I was the most stupid guy on earth. I walked away from you. My riches are gone. I've been in hell for 2,000 years. And now I'm going to go to the lake of fire. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you wicked servant. That man right now in hell, laid in the lake of fire, he's going to walk these steps over and over again. He's going to say, what a fool I was. I walked away from the Son of God that could save me. Only 25,000 people, approximately, of the Jewish population received Christ. We know it through archaeology. There's probably about 1 million people living there, 1 million Jews living there. And only about 25,000 accepted Christ. Do you understand what Jesus said when he was walking up to be crucified? They were weeping for him. He said, don't weep over me, weep over Jerusalem. I came to save. He was weeping over them. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm saying to you right now? Jesus knew that the majority of his own people would reject him. They would say no. But Jesus never said, okay, I'm going to lower the price. I'm going to change. You can have circumcision. You can go up to the temple. You can do this different thing as you do this and this and that. He never said that. He said, it's all or nothing. Leave it or take it. That's the gospel. And we need to understand that. We need to believe that. So that when we present the gospel, it is done with a conviction. Not sloppy saying, well, it'd be nice to have you saved. It'd be wonderful for that person. But you can never lower the price. You can never compromise. We can never say, well, you know, we want to have the masses to come in here, so let's put some rock music in here and let's not talk about the blood, let's not talk about hell, let's be seeker friendly, let's get the crowds in here. Jesus never did that. The Holy Spirit is not there. But when we lift up Jesus, he will draw men to him, men and women. And we know this, and it breaks my heart. The majority of the people on this earth will go to hell. Bottom line. Our job is to present the gospel to as many as possible. So we can get as many as we can with us. That's our job. And we need to present that. And we need to be convicted. If you don't believe in hell, you're not going to be a good witness. If you don't believe in a lake of fire, you're going to be a lousy person to witness. But if you have a fire in your bones and you love the Lord, then we will put something, when we go out and preach the gospel, we will do it with conviction, compassion, and a love for the person we are sharing with. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to praise and thank you right now. And Father God, I wish you would have not had the gospel so hard, Lord. Father, you know that most people rejected you that lived on this planet. Most people living today will reject you. They will go for everything but Christ. And Father God, it breaks our heart. And we beg of you here today, Lord, that you will first of all set us on fire. That you will give us souls by the thousands, Father God. Give us souls by the thousands. Let each one of us win at least one soul a year to begin with, Lord. And give us compassion. Help us to be truthful. Help us to be loving at the same time. Help us to be firm. But kind, Lord, oh God, we ask you right now, we want to be just like Jesus. That's what we want to do. We want to think like you do. Think like the apostles did. That we can go back to the book of Acts and be the men and the women, boys and girls, that you want us to be. That with power, we can present the gospel, and people will say, I can see they have been with Jesus. That is the greatest compliment, Lord, we can get, when people say, you have been with Jesus. Grant that prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can open up the altars if you have a need today. If you want to surrender something, whatever it is, you come. As we're going to sing here today and be praising God, the elders will be here and they will meet with you. And if you listen to me via audio, you can call us, write us, but you can kneel and pray right where you are. If you're driving a car or whatever you are, you can pray at that very moment and say, my Heavenly Father, I want to be saved if you're not saved. And if you are saved, if you want to come back and not be a backslider anymore, you can ask him for forgiveness. And if you want more power, you ask him for that, he will give it to you. May God bless you.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay. How did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the fourth part in the series, Back to the Book of Acts, and was entitled Breaking Away from Judaism. In this fourth message, Pastor John zeroed in on the situation at the time of Jesus and the subject so volatile that it resulted in his death. As a result, very few pastors dare to speak about it. What did Jesus expose that killed him? The answer? Judaism, a morally and politically corrupt religion. You see, the timeless instructions given to Adam, Moses, the judges, and the prophets were altered over time, and the Jewish leadership abandoned the Old Testament as the Word of God and supplemented it with Talmudic and Kabbalistic writings. Pastor John recited some of the worst heresies from these two writings, and how they are still impacting the world today. Before you write this off as an anti-Semitic attack, he reminded you to re-examine your assumptions of truth through the clear lens of a sincere biblical analysis. This message is available on CD and cassette, and when ordering, ask for sermon number 1106. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.